I did a pilot for ABC, and it was about a young couple, and it didn't sell. But the head of the network called me in. His name was Edgar Sherrick, and he said, the show didn't sell, but you know, I was just cast in it. He said, but we think you could be a television star. So we're going to look for something for you. And they sent me a bunch of scripts, and I called him up, and I said, Mr. Sherrick, all these shows are about a girl who's the daughter of somebody or the wife of somebody or the secretary of somebody. Have you ever thought of doing a show where the girl is the somebody? And he said to me, would anybody watch a show like that?
That is the actress Marlo Thomas talking about her groundbreaking show, That Girl, and, you know, how she got herself a role that was more progressive than the kind of role they wanted to put her in back in the 60s. Very good conversation with her coming up in just a minute. Really enjoyed talking to her. Before we get to that, a couple of little random thoughts here. Oh, I'm going to be in Orlando, December 29th, doing my Broadway show, Permission to Speak. If you're in the area, come on out. If you know anybody, call them up and tell them to come out. Otherwise, you're dead to me. Now, had a great time, by the way, in Minnesota. Thanks to anybody listening who was at the House of Comedy this weekend. Four great shows. Audiences were awesome. Loved the staff. Really fun time. And lots of stories came out of that one, including a woman that husband and wife, they were engaged at one point. He breaks up with her at a friend's wedding. Then he goes on to, she goes on to be engaged three different times. And then eventually they marry 8 years later. So there you go. You can't write this stuff. A couple of random observations. Oh, January 8th, 19th, and 20th, I'm going to be at the Laugh Boston Comedy Club in Boston, Mass. So come on out. February 2nd, Sellersville, Pennsylvania. I'm going to be doing Permission to Speak there. March 9th, Permission to Speak at the United Theater in Rhode Island. So it's all on my website. Please come hang out. Show's been awesome. The set's beautiful. Couple of random thoughts. Fruit flies. You'd think they'd be a lot faster. They eat fruit, but they just kind of slowly buzz around the fruit. They're not fast. What does that say about fruit? And should I really eat fruit? I don't know. Just a thought. Oh, and the other thing is, meanwhile, regular flies, they eat shit. Literally, they will sit on a pile of shit and eat it, and they're fast as anything. There's something not right there. Maybe I should be eating shit. Maybe I would be healthier. All right, well, listen, enjoy Marlo Thomas. Hope to see you guys at one of my shows. I'm everywhere. Go to my website, paulmercurio.com. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the show. I'm very excited to have this guest on, someone whose work I've admired for a long time and had a little bit of a crush on, too. Marlo Thomas is joining me. She's an award-winning actress, Golden Globes, Grammy, Emmy Award winner. She was awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom, the highest honor a civilian can receive by Barack Obama. She is the National Outreach Director for St. Jude's Children's Hospital for Cancer Research. You know her from That Girl, Ocean's 8, a myriad of plays and movies and television shows. And it's so great to have you on the show.
Oh, thank you so much, Paul. And my goodness, reading my bio, so you should read your bio. You're busier than I am. My goodness, Stephen Colbert Show and so many things. That's great. But I'm so happy to be with you today.
Thank you.
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. It means so much to me, especially this time of year when we're all out there running around buying Christmas gifts and Hanukkah gifts and families coming, and we're doing all this great stuff. And there are kids and families right now that are just fighting for their lives. And I think it's a good time of year to say, okay, let's give thanks for the healthy kids in our life and give to those who are not. And there's a million ways you can do that. You can go to stjude.org and make a donation, or you can go to we have these fabulous thanks and giving partners like Best Buy and Brooks Brothers and Toomey and Home Goods and Williams-Sonoma, Domino's Pizza, K Jewelers. They're all great partners, and they're good guys. You know, they're stopping business and saying, come on in, and I'm going to pause at the register and ask you to leave something for the children of St. Jude. And that's a good guy that does that. And, you know, I'll tell you something, Paul. There's a lot of rotten apples in this world, but there are way more good people. Good people want to do good, and they want to know how. It's just, how do you do good? And so this is a way. There's a lot of ways you can do good in the world, but St. Jude Children's Research Hospital is one of those ways. And this time of the year, the Thanksgiving time of year, is a time to that you can do good for kids, because nobody pays at St. Jude. My dad made a promise 62 years ago that nobody would ever pay St. Jude for treatment or travel or housing or food. And, you know, that treatment isn't just the treatment that we give the child. It's the research that we do that creates that treatment. So there's a tremendous amount of work that scientists do to even give us the treatment that our doctors and nurses will now apply to these children. So it costs a lot of money. It costs us about $3.8 million a day. And since we're not for profit and we don't have any paying customers, we're completely dependent on you, Paul, you and your listeners, and the American public to help us pay these bills.
Well, it's a very it's a tremendous cause with the, an amazing pedigree and history. And you're right. I mean, it's stressful enough to go through having a family member go through cancer and cancer treatments, and then to be worrying about paying for food and housing and all of that. And
right,
this allows the family to be a unit to really support the person. And how did your dad come to be involved in this and in this particular way? I mean, there's, you know, celebrities use their power of celebrity in good ways, in different ways. How did he come to be married to this particular cause this way?
Well, he founded it in 1962, but it was coming in his head for many years. He grew up in Toledo, Ohio, the son of immigrant Lebanese parents. They were very poor. They had just come here from the old country, and he lived in a neighborhood where they were all immigrant families with no money. Nobody ever went to a doctor. My grandmother had 10 babies with just her sister and some hot water, and my dad knew little friends who died. They died of things like influenza and appendicitis. And you shouldn't die from those things. It's only because their parents couldn't afford a doctor. And when my father grew up and wanted to build this hospital, that was the first promise he made. Nobody's going to pay. Everybody's going to get the same first-class care. He didn't, you know, and I think that that was a huge promise. It's an audacious promise. And we've had to keep it, and we have kept it. And that's why it costs $3.8 million a day, because nobody pays. And of course, nobody pays for the research. But that's where it came from, Paul. It came from that childhood immigrant situation where he saw kids dying and realized that everybody did not have a fair chance. You know, and even if you have insurance, it doesn't cover what it would cost. It approximately costs about $450,000 to save a child's life. And a lot of people don't have $450,000, and insurance companies won't go all that far. So you really need a place where you don't have to pay. And there's nothing that makes me happier with all the awards that you rattled off that I appreciate about my bio. There's nothing that's quite as gratifying as seeing a kid go home. You know, I see a little child walk. Yeah. Between his parents and going home, it's like, whoa. I mean, it does more for me than anything I've ever done, you know, and it's a heartbreak when we lose a child. It's just a heartbreak.
Yeah, it's got to be hard. Yeah, and not that anybody might need it, but in case they do, I mean, you're so eloquent in talking about this, they both can go to St. Jude Inspire to discover some amazing stories of hope and strength and love, to really get a even better sense of what you all do. Is there some sort of, pardon me for lack of a better term, qualification for St. Jude to take on a family or a child in this situation? How does that work exactly?
Well, usually, their doctor will refer them to St. Jude. They'll call St. Jude and say, please see this patient, because they have come to the end of their rope and they don't know what to do. And they figure we're working on something. And we take children that, you know, we're working on trials where we want to find out, you know, it has to be a disease that we're working on or a disease that we want to work on and that we're doing a trial for. Mm. So we're always trying to knock down the wall of why this cancer is killing children. So, as I said, we're a research center. Mm. So we're pretty much putting children into trials to see if we can get to the bottom of why this particular disease doesn't work. So that's how children come to St. Jude.
Got it. So let me shift gears for a minute about your amazing career. And you as a child, I read that you kind of were dissuaded from acting. Then you became a teacher, but then left teaching to go into acting. And then, you know, conceived and produced That Girl, which was such a great show. And so why were you dissuaded initially? And then when you conceived of That Girl, was that a tough sell to networks? Because it was such an ahead of its time show about a single woman, independent, pursuing a career, which you didn't see a lot of on TV. Once you decided you were going to go full bore into acting, was That Girl a tough sell to get on the air?
Well, what happened was I did a pilot for ABC, and it was about a young couple, and it didn't sell. But the head of the network called me in. His name was Edgar Sherrick, and he said, the show didn't sell, but you know, I was just cast in it. He said, but we think you could be a television star. So we're going to look for something for you. And they sent me a bunch of scripts, and I called him up, and I said, Mr. Sherrick, all these shows are about a girl who's the daughter of somebody or the wife of somebody or the secretary of somebody. Have you ever thought of doing a show where the girl is the somebody? And he said to me, would anybody watch a show like that? And so I gave him a copy of Feminine Mystique, and I said, this is where it's going. You know, it's not the old shows anymore. And there had never been a single girl on television before. And so he gambled on it. He let me do it. And because of his belief in me and belief in that book, he let me do it. And we were a hit the opening night. The first night we got a 40 share. Because there had never been a show about a single girl. And every home in America had a That Girl in it. Had a young girl who wanted to be something different than her mother, who had other kinds of dreams. And I never was a teacher. I was a student teacher. I graduated as an English teacher because my father insisted that we all have a piece of paper that said we were qualified to do something in the world. And he didn't want me to be an actor because he didn't think that was a something that would be real. So he was quite surprised when I made such a hit of it all. And of course, very relieved. Yeah, it was a great adventure to be the first single girl on television. And it opened the doors for Mary Tyler Moore and Kate Nally and Murphy Brown. They're all my children.
Yeah, it's incredible. And then after 5 years, am I getting this right, that you decided to leave the show or finish the show? Didn't want to be typecast and pursue other things, maybe more serious acting?
I just thought I was getting too old. You know, I mean, I was in my 20s when we started, and I was getting to be 30. And I thought, you know, this is a show about a young girl out of school who wants to find out who she is. She doesn't want to get married. She just wants to get a job. So, you know, after 5 years of not getting a job and 5 years of not getting married, you know, you can't do that too much longer without looking like an old bag, you know. So I thought, we did it. We told the stories. The networks wanted Ted and I to get married, Donald and Ann to get married. And I said, no, that's not the show.
Yeah.
That Girl is about a particular time in your life where that's where you're trying to find yourself. You know, her parents didn't want her to move out of the house. They didn't want her to move to the big city. You know, she was desperate to get a job as an actress and was always getting jobs like playing a singing mop and a dancing chicken and all these crappy shows. So that was the fun of it. You know, if she became a star or if she got married, it would no longer be the adventure of That Girl. And so I really felt that was it. You know, that was the show.
Very smart.
It was time to get out.
That's very gutsy. A lot of people would have held on to that as long as they could. Well, listen, I know you have to jump, and I'd love to talk to you more. St. Jude's Thanksgiving campaign is running through December. There are lots of ways that people can get involved, go online and support, donate some money. It's an amazing cause, and it's so wonderful to have you on. Been a big fan for a lot of years, and best of luck.
Thank you, Paul. Thanks so much. Good luck to you, and happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
There you go. That's Marlo Thomas. I hope to see you guys out on the road. December 29th, Permission to Speak, Broadway show, Orlando, Dr. Phillips Center. And January 19th and 20th, Boston, at the Lap Boston Comedy Club, February 2nd, Sellersville, Pennsylvania. My Broadway show, Permission to Speak, March 9th, United Theater, Permission to Speak. They're all the dates are on the website, paulmercurio.com. Thanks for checking out the podcast, everybody. We'll see you next week.